Welcome to Treasure the Word. Here are some insights on Deuteronomy 32-34. The Song of Moses that opens this final section begins with a declaration worth returning to whenever life's circumstances make God's character difficult to trust. The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he. Deuteronomy 32:4. Nearly every hard passage this study has wrestled with across four books, the hardening of Pharaoh's and Sihon's hearts, the total destruction commanded against certain nations, the death of an entire generation in the wilderness, the severity so heavily outweighing the blessing in Deuteronomy 28, finds its ultimate answer not in a fully satisfying explanation of each individual case, but in this prior foundational commitment. God's ways are perfect and just, even when, and especially when, they exceed what we can fully trace or justify on our own terms. This is not a call to stop asking hard questions of the text. This whole study has modeled exactly the opposite approach from its first pages in Genesis. It is a reminder that the asking must take place within a settled confidence that the God being questioned is, at bottom, trustworthy. The song also contains a verse that speaks with unusual directness to the nature of God's sovereignty in matters of life and death. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Deuteronomy 32:39. This is not merely a claim that God is capable of causing death and granting life in isolated instances. It is a claim of total governance, that nothing touching life, death, wounding, or healing occurs anywhere outside God's knowledge or beyond his ultimate control. However many secondary human or even satanic causes may appear to be operating in any given circumstance, whatever agency other actors genuinely exercise, and Scripture never denies that they do, none of it occurs outside God's sight or beyond his permission. Far from being a cold or fatalistic doctrine, this claim is, rightly understood, a source of real comfort. The same God who governs every wound also governs every healing, and neither slips beyond his notice or control. This is precisely the confidence Job reached for in the midst of catastrophic loss, when he had every earthly reason to curse God and instead fell down and worshipped. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job 1:21. It is the same confidence the psalmist reaches for when his own soul will not cooperate with what he already knows to be true. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and God. Psalm 42:5. Deuteronomy 32:39 does not promise that wounding will never come. It promises that wounding, wherever it comes from, never escapes the notice or the ultimate purposes of the God who also heals, which is reason enough, on the hardest days, to worship rather than merely to endure. The book, and the Pentateuch as a whole, closes with Moses' own death. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, as the Lord had said, and he buried him in a valley, but no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Deuteronomy 34, verse 6. Moses, whose entire life since the burning bush had been consumed with leading a stubborn and rebellious people toward a land he himself had forfeited the right to enter, dies within sight of the goal, buried in a grave no human being would ever locate or venerate. A small mercy, perhaps, against the very human temptation to turn his tomb into a shrine. The book's own final verdict on his life sets a standard that would stand unmatched for 15 centuries. There has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Deuteronomy 34:10. This claim would remain literally true until a greater prophet arrived, one Moses himself, on a mountain of transfiguration centuries later, would appear briefly beside, only to fade from that scene entirely so that the voice from heaven could declare of the one left standing, "This is my beloved son, listen to him." Mark 9, verse 7. Moses pointed his entire life toward a land he could see but never enter. In the end, his own story became one more signpost pointing towards someone greater still. Reflection and discussion questions 1. The Song of Moses grounds confidence in God's justice not in a full explanation of every hard passage, but in a prior, settled trust in his character. Is your own confidence in God's goodness resilient enough to hold steady through Scripture's hardest, least explained passages? 2 Deuteronomy 32:39 claims total divine governance over life, death, wounding, and healing, without denying that other genuine causes and agents are also at work. How does holding both truths together, real secondary causes and total divine sovereignty, change how you process suffering or loss in your own life? 3. Moses died in sight of the Promised Land, but was never allowed to enter it, and his grave was hidden so it could never become a shrine. Is there a Promised Land in your own life you may not personally reach, and how might you still finish faithfully even so, as Moses did? Deuteronomy ends by pointing forward to a prophet greater than Moses. Having now studied all 5 books of the Pentateuch, what single thread or image has most consistently pointed you across Genesis through Deuteronomy toward Christ? Thank you for spending this time in Deuteronomy 32-34. Until next time, keep treasuring the Word.